kind of got me right now. They kind of have me. And that doesn't happen too often. I used to watch baseball back in the days, by the way. When I was in high school, a lot of baseball. I don't even know why, but I just got hooked to baseball. And it's been a while since then. Lakers has always been there my entire life. Lakers and NBA, like, that's my jam. Like, that's since I was a little kid, I've always loved it. Baseball kind of has weaved its way in and out. NFL has been more consistent, but you know, one of the things I love seeing right now, Jess, and I'm not saying that you could do this during the, you know, the entire season, but I feel like baseball is having a little bit of fun this spring training, right? They're screwing around. They're making fun of the Astros. They're miking up the players at bat.
Yeah, they're definitely having fun at the expense of the Astros. I'm all here. I'm all for it. I mean, the players to themselves, you know, basically they're going to police themselves. And, you know, that scandal brought all eyes on MLB.
So that's the point. It's like, yeah, right now you have a lot of eyes and ears that are watching you, right? Like, and it's not just me. I think there's other casual fans. Now that I sit in this seat and it's the Sliwa show, I also know, like, okay, you got to definitely be on top of the Dodgers, be on top of what's going on in baseball. Like, I also have a responsibility to my job. But put that to the side, it's interesting what's happening in baseball.
It was like, you knew you had to do it either way, but now you're hooked. Now you're just like, all right, I want to see what's going to happen.
I'm hooked too because there are unique storylines that are coming in. So that's why when I say baseball, don't screw this up. Baseball has this, they have this thing of, and I don't know if you know like my new style on the show, I'm a funny guy, you know, so that has a lot.
Clown.
That has a lot to do with it,
clown,
right?
Yes,
that has
yes.
a lot to do with it. No, but if you do look at, if you look yeah. at baseball, baseball, baseball has this thing they always go old school, right? Like they don't want to adjust.
It's an old school mentality kind of game.
Old school mentality. And there's this thing about baseball. You know, one of the best things that football did, one of the best things that they allowed in the last couple of years. Do you know what it is?
I mean, I don't know.
You're wrong. Curtis.
Now I see what you're going.
You guys know what I'm talking about or no?
Evil shenanigans.
That's my guess. Evil shenanigans.
You could celebrate now in the end zone, right? Like, think about how creative those celebrations are in the end zone. I know it's a small thing and it might sound stupid, but I got to be honest with you. There's so many highlights right now from NFL games where I'm like, that's creative. That's hilarious. Oh my gosh, you see that guy did that. It's a small, stupid thing, but you know what it did for NFL? It kind of, for NFL, it loosened it up a little bit.
Definitely. I'll give you that.
Baseball. That's the one sport that needs to be loosened up. More than any other sport, it's baseball. Wouldn't you guys agree? Like, if you look at the way baseball is, you know what? You're not running fast enough around the bases after you jacked a 400-foot home run off of me.
Yeah, it's like,
I'm mad
know,
at you,
you
now.
You can't. You know, you hit a home run, like, Puig, you still out on the bat flip.
I was just going to say, did that bat just flip twice?
Yeah.
You know, like, there's, like, things like, little things like that.
There's body language that you can do that I feel, you know, the MLB's like, nope, can't do it. Or just, you know, it's...
And it goes back not wanting to adapt. It goes back just not wanting to change.
Oh, it always goes back to that.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, right now, for me, I'm into this. I don't even know why I'm into this, but I'm into what's going on in baseball. And again, I'm not saying that a player is going to be standing up there in the middle of August calling out what pitch is coming. You know that
Trevor Bauer did.
That's right, Bauer did.
That,
right?
I would love if you could continue that the rest of the season. That'd
but
be
it's
great.
Hilarious. It's funny. I think Ireland had an example yesterday on Mason in Ireland. An example about the sounds of the game. You know how the NBA does that? They mic up the players.
Yeah.
So they'll mic up the players. And they'll play it later. Like, they're not going to play it live, right? But they'll play it later.
Baseball yeah, they'll put something. It together in
baseball
a package.
Baseball can do something like that. You know, I think baseball is in need of some change.
Some change. And it's not even like you said, you know, it's not something big. It could be something small as to letting the players celebrate a little more after they hit a home run or after they hit a game-winning double, or let the pitcher celebrate a little more.
Put some technology in center field to pick up the pitches. You know,
no,
just
let's not go that far.
Just some normal
things like that.
Just some normal things like that. By the way, did you hear A-Rod? A-Rod had some, we'll play it later, but A-Rod had some very, very interesting comments. And here's somebody that said, You know, he's got the worst of a suspension back in his day. He's made the most mistakes as a baseball player.
A-Rod's definitely speaking some truth.
It's kind of funny. I like A-Rod, the announcer, so much more than I like the player.
Oh, definitely. A-Rod, the announcer, is fantastic.
I'm shocked. Like, this was a player. I'm like, no way I'm going to like this guy. I hated him as a player.
You know why he's so very grounded and in control right now?
Why's
he's
that?
Dating J-Lo. That's it. Every
you
strong woman,
anything.
There's a Latina behind him. Like me. There's my girlfriend's out there, so I'm going to be quiet now.
Oh, that's good right there. All right, this is a question. I didn't even get a chance to propose it. I'll ask Dodger fans out there. By the way, you don't have to be a diehard Dodger fan. I'm working my way into this. Who's a face of the Dodgers right now? Who is it? I asked this to Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times. I think it's a fair question. I don't know who the face is. Is it Clayton Kershaw? Is it Turner? Is it Walker Buehler? Can you make an argument right now it's Mookie Betts is the face of the Los Angeles Dodgers? I don't think you can. He hasn't played a game yet for the Dodgers. Is it Bellinger? 877-710-ESPN. And we got to do this as well when we come back. Does the elliptical count as a machine? Like, does it count as a workout? The elliptical.
Yes.
Does it count as a workout?
Only if you do one thing, though.
All right, we'll do that coming up next. 877-710-ESPN. Who is the face of the Dodgers? Stay right here. All right, so Jesse, apparently we got a call, but he didn't make it through.
No, he just wanted to talk to me. He wanted me to relay a message to
sure.
you, Alan.
Yeah.
You're saying Lakers with a Q, so you might want to fix your accent from
wherever I'm from.
And, you know, it's Lakers, not Lakers.
Appreciate it. No,
Lakers,
I appreciate him calling in to do that. Thank you very much. I'd help me out with this name. Francile, you said? Francile?
It totally blanked me. But yeah, Fran. Oh my lord.
Francile from LA. Appreciate you calling in. Who's the face of the Los Angeles Dodgers right now? Who do you think it is?
I think it's Cody Bellinger.
Okay, tell me why. Because I think you can make an argument for multiple players, but why do you think it's Bellinger?
I think, well, besides the fact that I've lived and been a diehard Dodger fan all my life, besides the fact that he has a 2019 Golden Glove Award,
mm-hmm.
he's well-respected within the community. You know,
homegrown?
Homegrown, yeah. Mm-hmm. We all love him here. I'm from Sun Valley, so a different part of L.A. County, but we all love him. You know, they've been the incidents where the girls run into the field. But besides that, it's always been a competition between him and Christian Yelich. Unfortunately, Yelich had an injury last year. But perfect timing.
What about Kershaw? You don't think it's Kershaw?
See, Kershaw makes me nervous, and I know, like, in my Twitter fam, everybody feels the same way. He is a franchise player. Like, I rep his jersey, no doubt. I believe in him, but as of right now, 2020 season, I'm going to go with Cody Bellinger.
Francie, I got one more question for you. Does the elliptical count as a workout?
Absolutely not.
It doesn't, does it?
Gosh, no.
Dang it. Let me tell you something. I went to the gym today, and I'm seeing the people on the treadmill in front of me, and I'm like, I think they're having a much better workout than me. I see another girl on the Stairmaster. She's just sweating, and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, I think I could wear this shirt tomorrow. Nothing was happening. So you think it's a no-go. All right, I appreciate you calling.
It's a no-go.
Thank you. Gosh, dang it. It doesn't count. Whole workout. What I don't understand is the machine says I burned 500 calories. I'm like, no way I burned 500
calories.
Wait,
hold on. Now, when you're on the elliptical,
yeah.
Do you stay in place or do you move your arms?
Oh, no, I move my arms.
That's the only way it counts. If you're just staying in place and moving your legs, that doesn't count. I'm sorry, but that doesn't count. You got to move your legs. It's a full body of motion workout, you know?
Mason was like, 100% it counts.
Oh, if you're
but here's
on there
Francile.
For a good...
Francile's telling us, like, what are you doing? Why are you even coming to the gym?
No, it's a workout, but you have to be committed to it, and you got to constantly move the arms.
There's times I'm
arms
not even sweating.
Legs.
I'm just
arms
standing there. Curtis, I'm just standing there. Like, I think I'm just hanging out watching TV. Like, I don't even know if this will work out.
The one that really... What's good, if you put that resistance on there and have...
Got to have resistance. Got
to
have a little incline, too.
Because if you just go... clean with nothing. It's like you're
no. It's like you're
sitting in
you're
place
flying.
Doing nothing.
Yeah, it's like you're flying. All right, 877-710-ESPN. Who is the face of the Los Angeles Dodgers? Who's the face of the Dodgers? By the way, this 2020 team is stacked. them and the Yankees are the two favorites. Of course, you got to go out and make it happen this upcoming year. There is nothing, by the way, you can't. There's nothing left to accomplish if you're the Los Angeles Dodgers. Okay, did you win the NL West? Yeah, you did that 7 years in a row. Have you got to the World Series? Yeah, plenty of times. Have you lost enough before then you know, obviously win the big one, I guess you can say. Yeah, there's been a lot of teams that have to go through a losing process to get there. There's nothing left for the Dodgers other than to win the whole thing. So I got one caller already saying that Bellinger is the face of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Manuel and Gardena. Manuel, appreciate you calling in, man. Appreciate you calling in.
First off, the police stat, you know I love you, my man. And hey, to that last lady, elliptical is absolutely a workout. But like my man was saying, you got to have a lot of incline, mm-hmm. and you got to have a lot of resistance. Now, the other trick is you got to hit that bad boy for 45 minutes minimum or an hour. Now,
so what I did 30. I did 30 today. I don't think it counted. I don't think it counted.
Well,
30
yeah,
minutes.
you got to step it up, maybe put some weights on too. Now, all right, the face of the franchise, no. I think maybe my man just didn't hear me right. Clayton Kershaw is absolutely the face of the Dodger franchise. Guys, 10 years in, he's going to be in Cooperstown wearing mm-hmm. an L.A. hat later on. Been the most dominant pitcher of this decade and the last. However, we're all aware of the playoff failure.
Well, Manuel, do you look at him differently now? I mean, just look specifically.
Absolutely.
I do, too. I don't think
he's
it's fair.
He's got the reset button, Flea. You know why? You're right. It's not fair. Man, baseball, if you're up there and you're not guessing, bro, everybody could be a batting cage, batting champ. You know what I mean?
Of course.
It's a
Giancarlo,
whole different ball game if you know exactly what's coming. Yeah.
Stan said he'd have 80 home runs. Mike Trout was like, yeah, that'd be pretty fun if I was up there and I knew exactly what pitch was coming. I mean, come on. And by the way, this isn't just, okay, we don't know what games they did it. We don't know this. 2017 in the World Series in a specific game Kershaw was in, what are they saying, 51 breaking balls and none of them were swings and misses?
Yeah. Hey, Fleestack, too, yes, check this out. They were reported by the Oakland A's, by the Chicago White Sox. I believe there was another club all in 2017. So this baloney about, oh, it was only in the playoffs, I ain't buying it, man. The first reports came in July. These guys were systematically cheating, which is why it's so bad, which is why Clayton and Kenley get a reset, and which why CK1 will get that ring this year with the 2020 Dodgers, baby. Love the show.
Appreciate the call, man. Look, man, Manuel comes prepared. That dude, now that would be a good time to use that one. All right.
If I had it, yeah.
So. Or if it's not that one.
You're my boy, Blue!
Or Will Ferrell. I mean, either one worked very good. This is what we have here. We've been told that the show's got to be funnier, so now I guess we just do comedy for an hour and a half, 2.5 hours. All right, Jerry, what do you think? Jerry in Riverside, real quick, who's the face of the franchise right now? Who do you think?
Yeah, Manuel kind of stole my everything I wanted to say there. But
Let me tell you this. All right, just 1 second, Jerry. Never use that one again. That one was awful. Jerry, real quick, I'll say this. Manuel, that dude brings it, but I will say that his point about Kershaw, there's got to be something. You know, in the proper terms, Kershaw's an OG to the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah.
I know he hasn't, you know, won that big one, but I think everything's changed after this whole Houston Astros stuff.
I agree, and I just think, you know what I mean? The guy has been such a great pitcher, not just for the Dodgers, but for the league. I mean, he's actually, you know, does a lot for the community. It's Kershaw, man. It has to be Kershaw. Until he's not a Dodger or until he completely falls off, he's the face of the team.
I appreciate you calling in, Jerry. All right, one more quick call. Anthony in Santa Monica, who's the face of the Los Angeles Dodgers right now? You there, Anthony?
Yeah, man, I'm here. Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
I think it's definitely Justin Turner, man. I think the guy is the heart and soul of that locker room, and he's the only one to stay consistent in the playoffs, man. Seager, Bellinger, Kershaw, they don't show up in the postseason.
Does the elliptical count as a workout, just out of curiosity?
Only if you're on your toes, man. If you're shuffling on your heels, I don't count it.
Gosh, dang it, Anthony. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. You broke it down for me. Literally didn't have a workout today. That's the final of this whole thing. That machine said 500 plus calories. I thought in my head, solid, I got 500 more calories that I could eat today. I'm just going backwards.
That's not what you really thought.
Probably not, but I will tell you this. The one thing the elliptical is solid for, bro, you take a lot of good notes for the show. I can't tell you how many times I've prepped for pregame shows. Because, you know, when I do the pregame with Michael Thompson, I got to have like 98 questions lined up. So with MT, I'm like, all right, I'm going to be on the, I don't know what it is. There's like a flow that comes from doing it on, I think it's because I'm not paying attention to the elliptical.
Now,
I'm only paying attention.
What I want to know real quick is how are you writing down your notes if you have
I'll just sign your phone, just the notes.
But you're not doing a workout. You see what you're doing there?
That's right.
You're cheating yourself.
I'm not using my hands.
You're cheating yourself, Alan. We got to get you a
Curtis,
third
turn his
arm
mic
or something.
Off, bro. I don't like what he's saying.
You have no
That's
power over
up.
Me.
That's jacked up. Curtis has the power. All right, here's what we got coming up. Brett Dawson from The Athletic has a great article right now in The Athletic. AD offers glimpse of what LA needs him to be. We'll switch gears, go back to Los Angeles Lakers basketball. Only a couple big games coming up for the Lakers. Just the best team in the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks. Just the nemesis of the Lakers right now, the Clippers, coming up on Sunday. We'll have that conversation. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
You're my boy, Blue!
Mario's opens are so good. I mean, they're just so solid. Mario Ruiz right there making it happen. All right, so this is kind of the conversation as we continue to talk about the Los Angeles Lakers. I cannot wait for Friday's game. I cannot wait for Sunday's game. If they lose one of those two games or they lose that game to the Clippers, then I don't want to watch SportsCenter. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to do the postgame show. I don't want to do anything. Isn't that funny how when your squad wins, you're down to watch all the highlights. I'm going to NBA TV. I'm going to SportsCenter. I'm doing all that. If they lose, I want nothing to do with it. All right, hopping on right now, Brett Dawson from The Athletic. Brett Dawson has a great article right now in The Athletic. AD offers glimpse of what LA needs him to be. Brett, appreciate you hopping on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Can you hear me okay there, Brett? Okay.
I'm in the car, which I didn't intend to be, but, you know, things happen.
Okay, no worries. I appreciate you being a part of the show. Here's a quick question I have. As you talk about Anthony Davis, and when you mentioned what we saw last night was a glimpse of what LA needs him to be, just give some details on that. If you can envision Anthony Davis, by the way, let's not even talk about the postseason yet. If you can envision Anthony Davis against the Bucks and against the Clippers on Friday and Sunday, what is it that your vision is for him?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, one thing looking at that, I think there's a big picture thing, too, that they need Anthony Davis to be that, one, to take some load off LeBron, two, to get where they want to get.
Hey, Brett, I'm sorry to cut you off. Let us call you back real quick, all right? We're going to call you back here in just a second. That connection is bad. It's not going to do your answers justice. So we'll get Brett Dawson back on from The Athletic. This is going to be the question, right? And it's not just on Anthony Davis's back. Of course it's not. Role players got to step up. Kuzma. Can Kuz be more consistent? Best part about Kuzma's game yesterday, he went back to his regular hair color. Much better, Kuz. Already moving in the right direction. Honestly, like, it's not, of course, on AD's back, but you want to see this next level for Anthony Davis. And what reminds you of who Anthony Davis is when he has games like yesterday. 37 points, 13 rebounds, 4 steals, 2 block shots. Want me to keep going on that stat line? 13 of 19 from the field, 4 of 5 from the 3. How about a plus 30 on the plus minus? A plus 30 on the plus minus. That was Anthony Davis. That's been Anthony Davis. We know he's got that capability, but it's one thing to do it against Philly. It's these big-time games that you want to see AD put his foot down on. It's these big-time games you want him to kind of stamp himself and say, yeah, that's right. It's LeBron James. It's Anthony Davis. And the entire league has to go through us. I think these are big statement games. I had some callers a little bit earlier in the show saying that. I had one caller specifically say that he doesn't think that they're statement type of games. Man, I can't tell you. If Michael Thompson was here right now, he would hallucinate because these games mean a lot to MT. Brett Dawson is back. Brett, much better connection. Much better connection.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, that's
cut
that,
out. And
no, you're good. Anytime the connection's bad, just blame it on Jesse, who's my producer, and he'll take the fault. So you're good to go, okay?
I'm for it.
Okay, so keep going here. We said AD offers a glimpse of what L.A. needs him to be. What's your vision on Friday? What's your vision on Sunday for Anthony Davis?
I think, you know, what we saw in the second quarter last night, and a lot of people know this and some people don't. This is the third different place I've covered Anthony Davis. Covered him in college at Kentucky when he was there. Covered him for a year in New Orleans. So I've seen a lot of him play basketball. And that second quarter last night, I think there's a gear that L.A. hasn't seen him hit very often. He's done it in some games. He certainly did it against the Pelicans. You know, we've seen it in some moments against Denver. But there's this level he can get to, and he gets there periodically. And I think that second quarter last night was him at that level. That was the peak sort of Anthony Davis. Hmm. That guy is really aggressive. That continued into the second half. There was a really notable play, I thought, right before LeBron hit that deep, deep three-pointer from the R around half court. Both those guys are going for a rebound, and Anthony Davis takes it. It's his. He wants it. That's the best version of him, when he's being really aggressive, when he's playing like he's the number one. LeBron can be the number one, but you want AD to play like he is in stretches, and that's what I think we saw from him last night.
Brad, that's an excellent point. I like that, putting it that way. We know LeBron's the number one, but AD playing like he's the number one. Why yesterday, by the way? You know, we've got a chance to watch every Lakers game this season. All the Laker fans that are out there tuning into the show right now, like, we know how good AD is. I mentioned this a little bit earlier in the show. He had a game just a few games back. He went 6 of 21 from the field. Awful shooting night. Had 14 rebounds and 6 block shots. Anthony Davis is the real deal. If his shots aren't falling, it's not like he's going to fold and he doesn't find ways to contribute. But why yesterday? I felt like I did the post-game show yesterday, and I felt like there was some kind of chip on AD's shoulder last night. What do you think it was yesterday? Because we know the big games are coming up on Friday and Sunday.
Yeah, I think a couple of things. One, you mentioned the shooting a couple of games ago, and he's had a little run like that where his I don't know if his shot selection's been bad. He just hasn't made some shots that he typically makes. I think he was a little fed up with that, and then he started off poorly in the first quarter. He was just missing some shots. And then I think, you know, sometimes you just pointed this out, even when the shots aren't falling, he can do other things. I think that second quarter, he really got energized by what he was doing defensively, because he was everywhere in that second quarter. He was a terror in terms of just blowing up pick and rolls, the way he was closing hard. You know, he's one of the best players in the league at making you think you've got a shot and then closing on you to really contest it. And then I just think his energy level got going at that end, and then the offense, he got some easy stuff. And then he made some shots. He just, you know, he got into a rhythm that he hasn't been in lately. So I think with him, it's always effort and energy and defense that typically kind of gets him wound up. And I think that certainly was the case last night. I don't know if it was so much the opponent as it was just the circumstance.
Brad Dawson for The Athletic, covers the Lakers for The Athletic, has a great article right now. AD offers a glimpse of what L.A. needs him to be. All right, big games coming up. We'll go to the first one, the Friday game, the Sunday game. How big do you think these games are for the Lakers? I've put it this way. My opinion is this. If you walk out of this weekend 2-0, you are the front runner to win an NBA championship, and you feel like the perception will be everybody's coming through you. And that's just me saying, okay, you finally got one against the Clips, and you got the Bucks. You get them to back-to-back. Those are statement games. How do you feel about this weekend games? Do you think they're that important, or do you think this is the regular season? This won't mean anything in a month or 2 months or whatever the case is.
I'm probably somewhere in between. I don't think they're meaningless. I mean, I think that the Lakers, given the record against the really elite teams, I think you at least would like to split. You'd certainly like to get one against the Clippers. I think there's real value. You know, I know players don't want to hear that you would attach importance to a regular season game. I think there is some importance. I think you want to get at least one of these next two against the Clippers. I don't think you want to go into a playoff series against them having not beaten them. Now, look, every year we see teams sweep the regular season against an opponent and lose in the playoffs. I covered two Oklahoma City teams that have done it the last 2 years. Hmm. Went undefeated in the regular season against the opponent they played in the first round of the playoffs and lost. So it's not essential, but I do think from a mental standpoint, from a psychological standpoint, you want to get one of those. I think the Bucks right now are playing, you know, they're lights out. They look like the best team in the league, and I don't think a loss in L.A. would change the way I feel about the Bucks. I don't know that a Lakers win against the Clippers would change the way I feel about the Clippers very much either, but I do think you want the Lakers to at least get a split here because I think you'd like to do something about killing that narrative that they're just not beating the elite of the elite.
Which one's the important one? If you say they got a split, you're winning one. Either Milwaukee or the Clippers, which one do you think is more important for the Lakers?
I think it's the Clippers. I just think you want to get one of those.
I agree.
I don't think you want to fall to 0-3, and I don't think you particularly want another kind of off night from LeBron in a loss to the Clippers, which just happened the first two.
Yeah, it's kind of been interesting, and you know, you mentioned this, and I'll get your thoughts on the Clippers real quick, but Lakers are going to need big-time players, and we know LeBron and Anthony Davis are the big guns, but they're also going to need these role players to – Kuzma's going to have some contributions. Danny Green, KCP, Alex Caruso, Dwight Howard. There is a depth part to this where as much as it's going to be on the back of LeBron James and Anthony Davis, sometimes you kind of live and die by your role players because two guys are only going to be able to do so much. What's your thoughts on where the Clippers are right now? What's your thoughts on just that team in general and how they match up against the Lakers?
Yeah, to me, the Clippers are built the best to win it of everybody. And that's because of the depth and because, and this is all theoretical. You got to get everything going right at the right time. But if they really click, if everybody's healthy and they've got all their parts, I just think one, the depth piece of it, depth is a little undercut in the playoffs when your starters are going to play more minutes and there's more time in between games. We all know that. But primarily because of what they have on the wing. It's just Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are two, not only high level scorers, but playmakers, defenders. They're so hard. It can get hard to even pass the ball against the Clippers, and they're kind of built to suffocate these great perimeter-oriented teams. I just think they've got a team really constructed to excel in the playoffs if they have all their pieces. To me, you have to say right now, if you got to pick a team to win it, the Bucks have played better than anybody. The Lakers have the best body of work in the West. But the Clippers, to me, are still the best team on paper, the team that if you say, you got to pick one, I think I'd still pick them right now.
Yeah, look, you're not the only one. There's a lot of people that said that. My version on the Clippers has been this. It's been that you kind of want to see them do it on a consistent basis to be sold on it, right? You're not 100% sure if all those pieces that on paper look fantastic. Okay, look at that depth. They got these guys coming off the bench. They got Marcus Morris now. That's now part of the team. You're not 100% sure if it's all going to work yet. That's why I have such curiosity to Sunday's game. I think the Lakers are going to win that game against the Clippers. And when I say that, I'm semi-confident. You know what I mean? Like, this is me talking as a Laker fan but trying to be objective. As much as the Lakers got something to prove, so do the Clippers. And the only reference that I'm making there is they have not played their guys on a consistent basis this year. So there's one basketball. How it all meshes together, I think, is yet to be seen. But, of course, from a talent perspective, Clippers got as much talent as anybody in the league. A final question I'm going to leave you with. Part of the theme of the show today is talking about – Brett, you ever use the elliptical?
Literally just now.
At the gym? At the gym, you use the elliptical. Okay.
Like just got off it.
What do you think? What do you think? Does that count? Is that kind of a workout? I got. Everybody's got their own opinion on this. I went today, spent about 30, 35 minutes on the elliptical. I walked away like, did I do anything? I wasn't sure.
So, I think the elliptical is kind of what you make it. You got to really push it, I think, to get much out of it. I used it today because everything else was taken up. I'd much rather be on a bike or sometimes on a stair stepper, although that thing's torture. I can't do the stairs.
I look at the stair stepper.
The bike is my favorite if I'm just going to, like, settle in and do some, like, you know, kind of interval, go fast, go slow. I'd like to be on the bike. But the elliptical, to me, it's like, it's a nice substitute if you can't get on the bike.
This is the problem with the Stairmaster, Brett. Let's put sports all to the side. This is a serious subject I think we both got to get into. But this is the problem with the Stairmaster. The clock doesn't move. You know, if it says, like... If you're going to do 15 minutes, for how long is it staying at 13 minutes and 22 seconds remaining? Like, the psychological part, I just can't beat it, man. I just can't do it. So that's all I got, Brett. I just wanted to open up with you about the elliptical in the gym as we close out this conversation.
It's great timing because the elliptical is fresh in my mind. Right now, I do feel like it was something, but it's not my preference.
Good stuff, Brett. Hey, we'll see you on Friday, Lakers and the Bucks. Appreciate you hopping on. If you guys get a chance, go to The Athletic. Read Brett Dawson's article, AD Offers a Glimpse of What LA Needs Him to Be. Thanks for hopping on, bud.
All right, thanks, Al.
All right, man. All right, so, you know, we're getting more opinions on this. This is important. This is very important to me. When we come back, I got to do something. Michael Thompson did this yesterday, all right? And you guys know how much I love MT. But he brought up a conversation about, I brought the conversation up to him about MVP. And he quickly went into who cares about MVP. I'll ask Laker fans out there. Do you care if LeBron James wins the MVP or not? Does that matter to you, or do you completely just don't care at all, and all you want at the end of the day is an NBA championship? But does that mean something to you if somebody rocking the purple and gold wins the MVP? 877-710-ESPN. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN. I thought I heard Funches, I think, saying this a couple days ago. Is Dave Chappelle performing at the Hollywood Bowl? Is that happening?
Yes, it is. Netflix is actually doing a comedy festival.
Bro, that's big
Netflix
time.
Is not a joke. That's what it's called. And yeah, that Dave Chappelle at the Hollywood Bowl. I am going to try to go because I would.
Couple years ago. In where is it? It's not in Denver. I think Colorado Springs. You ever heard of Red Rock Amphitheater?
Oh, the Red Rock Amphitheater. That is one of my. I'm going
to go. Is
that
a bucket list?
That's a bucket list item for me. That is one of the best acoustic places. A
couple years ago, me and three other buddies went to a show there. Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle did a stand up. That's actually fantastic. You want to get fights or whatever the case is.
Kobe.
We got to go to the Chappelle show.
We just can't do it.
We got to go to the Chappelle show, and the Chappelle show we can. It's a Chappelle show.
You said it. It's a Chappelle show.
Yeah, it's like classic. As classic as it
gets.
We can
use like two or three things.
Okay, so the question on the quick question here on whether LeBron James, is it important for him to win an MVP? Like, genuinely, as a Laker fan, do you care if LeBron won an MVP or if he didn't win an MVP? Michael Thompson yesterday in the pregame show, and he's 100% right on this. I'm not going to argue this. He said there's only one trophy that matters at the end of the year. And of course, I'm not talking about the NBA championship trophy. I'm actually talking about the finals MVP trophy, because what he's saying is obviously if you get the finals MVP trophy, then you're going to win a championship anyways. That's the only one that matters. So he's not a fan of this most valuable player trophy. And he's gave me the examples before. He's like, hey, you think Giannis wants his MVP from last year, or you think he wants Kawhi Leonard's finals MVP with the Toronto Raptors beating the Golden State Warriors? Of course he wants the finals MVP. But with all that, I'm like, MT, I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. There's only one trophy that matters at the end. He's right. I'm not here to argue that. But don't you feel like LeBron deserves the MVP? I mean, I wouldn't make it a big deal. I wouldn't care as much if I didn't feel like, I don't want this merit to be based off of, well, LeBron's been in the league for 17 years. Or LeBron's 35 years old, that's why he should win it. I don't want it to be based off of that. I want it to be based off of LeBron James being the most valuable player in the NBA, and I genuinely feel that. Now, am I getting a chance to watch Giannis every single night? Of course I'm not. The one game that we got to see Giannis against the Lakers, Giannis was ridiculous. Giannis was amazing in that game. 30 points a game, almost 14 rebounds, 5.8 assists, a steal and a block, however you want to put it. I know how good Giannis is. Have you seen LeBron James when he comes out of a game, what happens to the Los Angeles Lakers? Have you seen that? It's a completely different team. And that's the point I was trying to make to MT. I'm like, MT, I get what you're saying. The finals MVP is the only thing that matters. But don't you feel like LeBron James deserves the most valuable player of the year award? So if you guys have a thought on that, 877-710-ESPN. Does it matter to you or does it not matter at all? Evan in Garden Grove, what's your thoughts on that? You want to see LeBron get the MVP or is that not important to you?
I would love to see it. However, I'm kind of conflicted on this one. I'm a big Angels fan, and the Angels have sucked for the last couple of years, but Mike Trout's been like,
sure,
hope.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a nice consolation prize. However, with the Lakers having the chance, like the big possibility, to me, I'm with MT. I mean, LeBron, he's got to bring that championship home. That's the only trophy that matters. If he wins the MVP in the finals, he's winning the finals too. So, I got to say no on this one for me. Not a big deal. Should he win it? Completely agree with what you just said.
Evan, did you see Mike Trout at Top Golf in Vegas? Did you see that video?
I did. Over the net.
That dude is ridiculous. Appreciate you calling him, man. For those who didn't see it, go on YouTube and just type in Mike Trout.
Cody Bellinger hit a better one.
Bellinger hit one too, and then everybody was like, "Oh, he got injured because of that." And then today they said he's 100%.
That's just you're trying to like light a fire with.
No, I'm not. I'm saying. That,
oh no,
that's
what I mean. It's the metaphorical you.
I was like, "Why are you coming at me like that?" I'm just
You've been coming
the
at me the whole show.
It's true. No, I have. I've been a little aggressive. Listen, there's the pressure of needing to be funny, and then I have to take out, you know, everything else on others.
You boys like Mexico? Yeah!
I hit the wrong one. I was supposed to hit this one.
Do you want to dip the size of your meal for a quarter more?
Want me to punch the size of your face for free?
That's a good one.
I love you, Farva.
All right, that's a good one. That one's okay. So far right now, one of the last 10, I think work. Wait, real quick, Jess, before you go in your own little world with the bites there. How far did Trout hit that ball in Top Golf?
I'm pretty sure it's landed like at Saturn or somewhere in deep space.
Bellinger, by the way, too. I just thought Trout was so clean the way
Trout hit it. Mm-hmm. Bellinger's is still following it. The trajectory of both balls are still in the course of space, where, you know, one is bound to land in Saturn, the one's going to land in Pluto.
Both those guys, how smooth are their swings?
Zero effort.
And it's that smooth, obviously, in baseball, but like to think that they're grabbing a golf club and hitting it that smooth, too, I'm like, oh my
gosh. What I want to know is how many takes they do. There's no way they did that on the first try, on the first swing. They definitely had a couple practice swings before
athletes,
they recorded.
Athletes, man. Athletes. Jay Shawa, Valley Village. Did I pronounce that right?
Close enough.
It doesn't matter. Look, the finals is the most important thing. I agree with Michael Thompson. The finals MVP. LeBron wants that. He brings the team together. He also deserves the MVP, whether he gets it or not.
That's what I'm saying. And that's the point.
Years.
That's the point that I'm making, too, is like, I feel like he deserves it. You know, like, I think the Western Conference should come into play a little bit. It's when LeBron was in the East, there was always this chatter, well, he's doing it in the East. Well, he's doing it in the West now. You know, what more do you want from the guy?
I mean, what he's doing with the assists, he brings the team together. And like you said, when he's off the court, the Lakers look awful. They look lost.
All right, give me a little prediction here. Friday against the Bucks, win or loss?
We're going to win on the final second buzzer shot.
How about Sunday?
Well, it depends if we play everybody. I feel like AD's a little hurt. Maybe we rest them.
No, we'll play him. Everyone's playing. Give me if you think everyone's playing, who wins, Lakers or Clippers?
Well, I think the Lakers win because we've already lost two and we have something to prove this time. So.
Appreciate you calling in, man. Thank you. Sorry for the sound bites in the back. Apparently, I have no control back there.
You don't have any control back here.
All local coming up next. Right, we'll get you guys up to date on everything.
On all your local stuff. Yes,
LAFC, Galaxy, USC, UCLA, Kings and Ducks, if they got some games tonight, Angels and Dodgers, and Lakers and Clippers. We'll do all that coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
You're my boy.
Appreciate that, Mace. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I'm well aware that I don't have much hair on the top of my head, but thank you for reiterating that.
You know what? I have
a question
about that.
And then we made it to a promo. Yeah, please.
So I'm sure you saw what happened yesterday on the pregame show on TNT with Shaq.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah.
What's your estimation of Shaq's
definitely? I mean, he's
hairline.
Way back. No, I wouldn't be that. Problem with me is the top of the head. It's just the top of the head.
So you don't have any weird. You know how?
No,
how about if you let your hair grow?
It would just be. Remember how Ginobili looked when he was playing?
Oh,
do you remember
man.
Ginobili?
It would be that like that, kind of
where you got hair kind of on the round and then up top.
Oh man, so you really are the Alex Caruso of the station.
And I, you know, it's actually funny. When I actually had hair, I wouldn't get as many haircuts as I do. I got to cut my hair all the time now.
Well, yeah, you don't want like little hairs
sticking
out.
There's just that,
out.
Like enough where you're like, yeah, that ain't happening.
Doesn't it get
so,
really itchy or something too? If, like,
all right, let's go all local here, Curtis. That's enough, bro. All right, we got the point. I don't have hair. We got it.
Oh, you don't have hair? I could never tell.
Perfect face for radio, all right? Perfect face for radio. It does not get itchy, okay? I hope that helped right there. Okay, we got all local right now. And listen, it's kind of funny that we might have to come up with a different name because these are the battles I have with myself on the side. I'm like, okay, we're talking all local. And then we hop on at 8:30 and I call it all local.
All local. There's capital. See, when you say all local, it's capital A. Lowercase L, lowercase
so a new name.
L.
So definitely a new name.
But when we do all local, it's capital A, capital L, new capital L.
New name it is. So definitely brainstorm. Let's start brainstorming that. Okay.
Brainstorm.
There's got to be something else. By the way, I love the Red Hot Chili Peppers playing that in the background. Gosh, we got to get to Hollywood Bowl. How good was Chappelle? All right, give us kind of some updates what we got going on right now.
All right, so the first update we got is we have a trade in the NFL. The Chargers trade away their left tackle, Russell Okung to the Panthers.
Loved Russell Okung.
For the right guard, Trey Turner. So, but it can't be officially done until the league starts.
I mean,
March
when
18.
I saw that move on the waiver wire, I lost it. You know,
they're getting protection for Tom Brady.
How are they
going to
win without? By the way, we talked about this a little bit earlier. If the Chargers can do one thing right, and I'm telling you, that's a big if, give them a piece of that organization, bring Tom Brady to be the face of the franchise, and then some people would have interest. Actually, a lot of people would have interest
in
the Chargers.
Everyone would have interest.
They would.
Tom
Brady. Right? Like they would. But I'm going to tell you what the Chargers are not going to do. They're not going to do something that is makes sense for the organization. They're not going
okay.
to. I've seen enough Chargers over the years. Obviously, you know, I grew up in San Diego, so
that's
I'm
right.
well
from
aware,
San Diego
well
originally.
Aware of the Chargers.
Who would have thought?
They're not going to do it. They're just not going to do anything that makes sense. And by the way, if they do it, then I'll give them credit. I'll give them praise. I just don't feel like that's an organization that would do that.
I mean, this trade is nice for them. You know, they got a lower guard for an older tackle, so you know what, I'll give him a B+ on that. B+ for that trade, Chargers. So moving on, Lakers of course won yesterday 120-107 versus the Sixers. They are 47-13, first place in the West.
60 games in.
Woo!
How about that? Only 22 games
it's
left.
It's been a long time since the Lakers were this good.
22
this
games
deep
left
into the season.
22 games, that's
and
it left
love
for the Lakers, and obviously a chance to win a chip.
Yeah, big two-game stretch Friday against Milwaukee and Sunday against the Clippers. Speaking of the Clippers, they are now second in the West. Denver lost to the Clippers last week on Friday, then proceeded to lose.
They lost yesterday?
Yeah, they did.
They ended up losing that game?
Mm-hmm.
Who'd they lose to? I remember Ireland talking about it during the broadcast.
It's leaving me. I think they lost to the Warriors, actually. The Warriors.
That's right.
They lost to
at
the Warriors.
Home.
So they dropped to the 3 seed, and now the Clippers are the second seed at 42-19. They won their last game. They also played yesterday. They beat OKC in Paul George's return to Oklahoma City, 109-94. Their
you
next
showed
game,
me. You showed me that photo of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Oh,
the
savage
sweater that he was wearing. All right, so for those that don't know, he had a sweater on. You guys remember this? Remember when the Lakers went 16-1 in the playoffs?
15-1.
16. 16 was the chip. Oh, it was the first round, a 5-game set?
Yeah, back then, I think
I think it was 16-1. I think it was 4-4.
I bet you a dollar
they
now.
Lost,
win a dollar.
They lost one game, right? That one game they lost was against Allen Iverson and the Philadelphia 76ers. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had the Allen Iverson stepping over Ty Lue as a shirt. And Ty Lue is obviously the lead assistant to the Clippers. It was savage, but not a smart move because the Clippers went in there and handled their business.
Yeah, but I still love that savagery.
That's kind of bold of a young player.
That's super
player
bold.
Like
that's
that.
Why I love it. So moving on, Dodgers, they won their game today. It was finished about half an hour ago, 4-0 over the Giants. They face the Diamondbacks tomorrow. The Dodgers are currently 7-4-1 in the Cactus League. And the Angels won their game also today against the Texas Rangers. They have an off day tomorrow, and they will face the Royals on Friday. They are currently 5-6.
Curtis, do me a favor. Name off 7 guys from the Royals right now. Go.
Oh, this should be great.
Go.
I don't have any.
Okay, sounds good. Let's keep going.
Keep going. So moving on to NHL, the Kings are on a 3-game win streak. They beat the Golden Knights this past weekend, 4-1. Mm-hmm. They face the Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow. So Kings, despite trading away and going in full rebuild, they are on a win streak.
And we've already talked about this. They got no shot of making the playoffs.
No shot.
You know, Kings, listen, this is what happens here. You got to kind of win to get some love on the show. We gave the score. We talked about a 3-game winning streak. We know you have 20 picks over the next 2 years. Now we move on. Let's keep going.
Yeah, you know, they won the Stanley Cup a couple years ago. Whatever comes up must always eventually come down.
Yes.
Moving on to the Ducks, they are currently facing the Colorado Avalanche, and they hold a 3-2 lead with about 17 minutes left in the third period. Now, the Ducks also aren't really very good. We don't think they're going to make it. Let's keep going on that one. So, moving on to MLS. Galaxy tied their MLS debut against Houston 1-1.
That was today?
No, that was on Saturday.
That was on Saturday. Over the weekend.
Yeah, over the weekend. They'll face the Vancouver Whitecaps this Saturday. And for LAFC, well, I'm going to have the voice of LAFC, Dave Damholm, tell you exactly what happened.
Got it.
Laces it towards midfield, towards nobody, frankly. Rossi manages to chase it down with a great first touch to Vela. Vela, great first touch himself. Towards the middle of the field, Vela. Top of the area, Vela. Onto his left foot. Chips it over the keeper. Robles it in! Oh, what a goal! Carlos Vela! Chips the keeper from 20 yards out. LAFC 1! Enter Miami Neal.
And that's what the ends.
I want everybody to know right now, if I play,
you're my boy, Blue.
That is the ultimate compliment to the show. I'm only going to use that at the right times, okay? But Dave Denholm gets a,
you're my boy, Blue.
How good of a call was that?
Dave Denholm,
that's
is
a fantastic call.
By far one of the most underrated play-by-play guys.
My throat like started hurting just listening to him.
He has that. Oh, you'll hear that all throughout the season.
But he's got great energy.
All the highlights
Honestly, there are certain calls that you feel it. You know what I mean? Like
you get that every time with all of Dave's
feel
calls.
The call. Now, if he's doing that for a corner kick that goes nowhere near the goal, it would be like, okay, not that time. Just use it on the big ones.
Yes.
No, but no joke. That's a fantastic call from Denholm.
Yeah. So they start their season 1-0, and they will face the Philadelphia Union Sunday night at the bank.
Real quick, Curtis, Philadelphia Union, give me four guys from the Union right now.
Like the States?
Keep going. Go ahead.
Moving on to college basketball. USC won their game over the weekend, 71-61 over Arizona State. However, they are in fifth place in the Pac-12 at 10-7. USC. They are 10-7, fifth place in the Pac-12. Two games behind first place. Who?
How about UCLA? That's big time.
Big win over the weekend, 69-64 over Arizona. They are in first place.
Should I be surprised, or is that what UCLA basketball is supposed to be?
That's what they were supposed to be.
In the Pac-12, just the history of UCLA, that's good for college basketball. You know?
And they're alone at the top. They're 12-5 in the Pac-12.
They beat Arizona State and Arizona, I think, their last two games.
They are on a seven-game win streak.
Yep. And they'll have a bye in the Pac-12 tournament in the first round. But they can't, I mean, you can't just, you know, be atop the Pac-12 and mail it in. I'm not saying they're going to mail it in for that Pac-12 tournament, but at least get to the finals in that Pac-12 tournament. That's important, too, for seeding once you get in the tourney.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think anyone really expected this out of UCLA.
I called it.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Show me the tape. Sliwa show wasn't on back then. I know you didn't call it.
I don't have time right now. I'm very busy right now.
We got like 20 minutes of the show.
I'm very busy in the show right now. Okay.
But I'm doing my segment.
And I didn't call anything. Exactly. No, but it is impressive. I did this. Remember we were talking about college football, right? And I'm going to continue to harp on this too, Jess. There's something about great college football in LA. There's something about SC and Notre Dame having a meaningful game. There's something about SC and UCLA having an important game at the Rose Bowl, or Oregon and UCLA, whatever the case is. You want to see it in basketball too, especially UCLA. UCLA is expected. Pauley Pavilion, when it's right, when the team is good, when the university is good, it's one of the best atmospheres you can have in college basketball. But if it's dormant, they're not playing well, it's like you're missing a piece of LA basketball. You know what I mean? Like,
definitely.
You really are.
And just one thing, staying on UCLA, it's been 1 year since Caitlin Ohashi took over the world with her dance performance. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, that's the gymnast, right?
The gymnast with her perfect score routine. Mm-hmm. That dance just makes me happy. Like, she's just so vibrant and bright.
It makes me think of, like, how unathletic I am.
Okay? Oh, extremely. I'm way past that.
How, like, if you said right now, hey, just do a somersault. Just do a somersault. How about just sit, like, a certain way where, you know, I can't do it.
Just sit with your legs crossed.
I can't do it.
No, you know, we're not all athletes. Some of us play in the NFL, MLB,
some of us sit
NBA.
Behind a microphone and don't have to do any of that stuff.
And
we talk about the game as if we're athletic. That's what I do.
Drink it in, man.
Drink it all in,
okay,
man.
Was that The Rock?
No, that was not The Rock. This is The Rock.
Lay it the smack it down.
I'm a little disappointed because last time you actually...
Was that Jericho?
Yeah.
Okay, let me say
all
this.
All hail the Ayatollah of rock and roller!
What is this?
That's Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock
Jericho,
and roller.
But why? Why right there?
Like, it's because he's not Lee Champion anymore. He lost his Lee Champion chip over the weekend to John Moxley.
Curtis, unplug the mic.
No, he's a wrestling fan too, so good luck. We'll keep talking wrestling. I'll keep going.
There.
Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, goodbye and good night. Woo!
Goodbye and good night.
So that's all I got.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What you got to play is whatever that music Mason plays. The music Mason plays, that's a solid one. All right, this is what we're going to do when we come back. So I don't know if you guys got a chance to hear Alex Rodriguez. Man, A-Rod was so real in a TV interview he did. I think he was doing one of the spring training games, you know, one of the broadcasts for ESPN. I think it was ESPN. We'll try and source that the right way, or I'll be way off. But I want you guys to listen to A-Rod. I thought A-Rod had a fantastic take on just mistakes that he made during his career and how he felt like the Astros should treat some of the mistakes that they've made. We'll do that coming up.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
I literally gotta control everything out here. Gotta control everything.
Just gotta hit a little Ric Flair every now and then.
Do you know who this is? Do you know who this artist is?
No, I don't.
Let me tell you something. There is so much good reggae out there. I don't know if you guys like this. By the way, honestly, because it's not for everybody. Do you like this music or
no? I absolutely 100% enjoy reggae.
Yeah?
I do.
Curtis, do you enjoy this?
I love it because it's also, I don't know anyone else who comes in with reggae music, like on radio in general. You know what I mean? But I like some newer, like,
it's not for everybody.
Cool.
Here's the thing. It's not for everybody. But man, a lot of it is very positive too. Like, it can have a very positive vibe to it and everything else. But just love the beat. It's so chill and it's different. You know, and some of this is from the 70s, from the 80s. There's some other good reggae that's out right now, but I kind of like some of the old school. All right. I have no transition to go to Alex Rodriguez from there, but that's where I'm going. Going to A-Rod here.
Give it a B+.
Alex Rodriguez. Listen to A-Rod. Did we know, is this ESPN? Did we figure that out? We didn't figure it out. That's it. Too busy trying to play wrestling sound bites back there.
I'm sorry, I was looking for the latest wrestling. But you know what? Since you're going to come at me, I'm going to come after you. I did double check the 0-1 playoff run. 15-1. The first round was the best of three. It's only been about 5 or 6 years that the NBA took that first round of the best of four.
Trying to think here. 2009, 2010.
Look
up those years.
That was, I think, four game sets all the way. I remember for a couple years...
Early on,
at least, you know, when I started watching basketball, the first round was the best.
There was. It was
three,
best of five. It was best of five.
And then it got pushed to best of seven.
What eventually ended up happening is just comes down to money. And those best of five sets became best of seven. A good one, by the way. Mavs and the Pelicans, 111-109. Dallas with a 2-point lead over the Pelicans. Why is that any significance of the Lakers? The only significance that would have is eventually. when this season ends, it's going to be either Memphis in the eighth spot or the Pelicans in the eighth spot or a number of other teams, Sacramento, San Antonio. 112-109 right now, 10 seconds left to go. Keep you posted. Dallas got a three-point lead. Here's A-Rod talking about the Astros.
I served the longest suspension in Major League Baseball history. You know, it cost me well over $35 million. And you know what? I deserved that. And as a result, I came back. I owned it after acting like a buffoon for a long time. I had my apologies, and then I went dark. And I wanted my next move to be contrite, but I also wanted to go out and play good baseball and change my narrative. And the way you change your narrative is you have to be accountable. You've earned all this negative talk. You've earned whatever comes your way, including whether it's hit by a pitch or negative press. You have divorced yourself from having the ability to protect yourself.
I was talking about this a little bit earlier. So Alex Rodriguez right there is, what was he doing? He's being honest. That's it. That's all A-Rod's doing in that conversation. And I love how he admits, listen, is there any other player in baseball that's made as many mistakes as Alex Rodriguez? You know, if there's one thing we do as fans, and probably I would say it's not even just fans, as a society, when someone admits they're wrong, genuinely admits they're wrong, typically, you know, we got big enough hearts to kind of look past and say, all right, the guy made a mistake, the girl made a mistake, whatever the case is, right? And I thought A-Rod saying that $35 million that he lost out on simply because of the mistakes that he made as a baseball player and continuing to highlight, nothing ever changed here. Astros never changed. They didn't. Nothing new has happened since they were obviously caught stealing back in 2017 and I think probably 2018 as well and or part of 2018. And they say, oh, no, nothing happened in 2019. We would never do that. We would never cheat without getting caught and do it again until we finally get caught. Absolutely not. But I thought A-Rod was so real in that conversation, was so raw in that conversation. Definitely wanted to play that. You know, here's somebody that has been in a position in his career where he's been incredibly successful, and now he's got success, you know, off the baseball field as well. And I think my perception of A-Rod has changed over the years as well. What's going to happen to the Astros this year? I think nothing's going to change unless they were to come out and, you know, admit their wrongs, admit their faults, give back what they stole from not just the Dodgers but other teams out there, and they're not going to do it. But baseball has been baseball is in an interesting spot right now. It really is. Baseball is in an interesting spot because they got an incredible amount of attention that's on baseball right now. We'll see if that carries over to the regular season, and we'll go from there. All right, Lakers got some big games coming up. Got the Bucks on Friday. We got another show, by the way, Sliwa Show coming back tomorrow, and it will be all new funny material.
Oh yeah,
all new funny material. I'm talking about is this. So I told the story of Mason Ireland. It's kind of funny. So I get called in.
Don't forget all new drops too.
I get called in for a meeting. Right. All right. Hey Al, come in. Let's talk a little bit about the show. We got some big hitters in the meeting. Right. Alan, we need you to be a little bit more loose on the show. We need you to crack more jokes, tell more personal stories. So I think now I'm going to spend more time just working on my comedy material, which isn't very good. But you got to accommodate what the bosses want. You know, that's kind of
we all start somewhere.
To.
You know, like Drake says, started from the bottom. Now we're here. We're starting from the bottom, but don't worry, we'll be right there soon.
I'm still at the bottom. Still right at the bottom.
That's time and patience and work. You know, we'll work our way to the top.
My final take real quick on the elliptical is very simple. I don't think I got a full workout in. But you know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to get right back on the elliptical. I'm going to prep for the show. I'm going to spend a lot of time. By the way, tomorrow, you know what we got to spend some time on? We got to talk about which is the tougher game, the Bucks or the Clippers, and which game is more meaningful if you're a Laker fan, the Bucks or the Clippers. I definitely have my thought on that. I mean, my view on these next two games coming up, I think they're statement games. I really, really believe they're statement games. I think they're big. I think that the Lakers can kind of walk away over this weekend as a team with an incredible amount of swagger walking into the final month of the season or whatever it is, or they're a team where there's some legitimate questions. You know, legitimate questions in the sense that, yeah, of course we can beat the Nuggets and the Jazz and the Houston Rockets. By the way, we got another game coming up against Rockets. You guys remember we lost that game earlier in February. Only two losses in the month of February. But either Lakers are going to come out of this as the team to beat or a team with some question marks that against the elite of the elite, you've still lost to. That's what these next 2 days, or that's what these next two games are going to be for the Lakers. Love, by the way, I mean, that was great. I thought Staples Center, I mentioned this yesterday in the postgame show. I thought Staples Center, I don't know what it was yesterday. There was a vibe and an energy towards that end of the second quarter. Lakers went on a 30-9 run. 30-9 run to close out the first half. And the energy at Staples Center was fantastic. You love seeing that. That's exactly what you want to see. But that was the Sixers without Joel Embiid and without Ben Simmons. But the next two coming up for the Lakers between the Bucks and the Clippers, I got to imagine the vibe at Staples Center is going to be as good as it's been this entire season. And I've had the privilege. I've had the opportunity. Obviously, go to every game, get the opportunity to be there for the pregame show, myself and Michael Thompson. The vibe's been great, you know, this season, but it's next level when you play these big-time teams. All right, thank you to Jesse Lopez. Thank you to Curtis. Curtis, pronounce your last name, bro. I screw it up every
Poindexter.
Time. Poindexter.
Okay, John got it wrong, too.
Poindexter. Pondexter was the player, right?
Yeah.
Poindexter.
Poindexter, I guess it was some guy in Felix the Cat. I don't know.
Appreciate it, all right?
All right,
thank you both.
We got to go. We got to wrap up.
Download, and we won't do all that. We don't got time for that. Tomorrow, we'll do it again. This is The Sleeve with Sean, 710 ESPN.